Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. And we're going to be going down here for those of you that have not heard this story before. So we can get the context. Let's go to verse 12. Luke 14 and 12. Then said he also to him that bade him, when thou makest a dinner or supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, nor thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbors, lest thou also bid thee again, and a recompense be made thee. But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. Verse 15, and when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then said he unto him, a certain man, this is a parable he's sharing here, made a great supper. This is talking about a great banquet. And he's sharing this parable, and it says, he made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at the supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. It's ready to be served. Amen. The food is ready. Everything has been prepared. Verse 18, and they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his Lord. The servant comes to his Lord and says, Lord, those that you originally invited to this banquet and have committed to come, now when everything's ready, they don't want to come. They've made these excuses. So we have this big banquet, all this food ready, and nobody's coming. All the ones that you invited now don't want to come. So the servant came and showed his Lord these things and told him about it. And the master of the house began to be angry. You can only imagine the expense, the money, the effort. How many have ever made a big dinner and expected folks to show up that you invited, and then they called you up with an excuse, but everything was already ready? It'd frustrate you. It'd make you upset if you're one that labored and put all your efforts into being prepared. Amen? So he was angry and said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. Go out and get these folks to come in. And the servant said, Lord, it is done. He went out. This servant went out and he invited all the folks that he could. Some scholars say this was a remnant of Jews that were maimed and there were halt. And there was a remnant of them that came, but the banquet table was still not full. So he went to his Lord again and said, Lord, I've done what you've asked, and it's still not full. Verse 23, and the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. I want you to catch that word in verse 23, compel. It has a meaning and the thought of giving a strong suggestion that you need to really be persuasive for them to come in. You need to put an effort into your invitation. So you compel them to come in that my house may be filled, for I say unto you that none of these men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. I want to minister this thought on bring them in. Every one of you are servants of the Lord, and you have a responsibility to bring them in. In verse 23, and the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. Can I tell you, we have a responsibility. In this parable, Jesus is speaking, and he's speaking in a very large picture he's painting. In the Jewish traditions, they understood what banquets were. They were people that really put a lot of effort into large gatherings where a lord or a man of high-ranking authority within the Jewish tradition, a man of wealth, he would call for a banquet. He would put a special invitation out, and many of their traditions back then was to pretty much invite a lot of rich folks. See, if I went to one of, let's say, one of our prominent Bill Gates's banquets or one of his special gatherings, I would feel out of place because I'm just a nobody and not a wealthy man or businessman. And how many of us know how funny some of us would feel going into the midst of a bunch of millionaires and people that got a lot of money and people that got a lot of wealth and popularity and have got a lot gained in this world? Well, this is what the Lord did. He painted a picture and talking about plainly, the Jewish people were the original ones that have been called to this banquet. How many of us know that God is the God over the Jewish people? He originally came to his own, and the Bible says his own received him not. This Lord here came and gave the first invitation, and three men it gives, and I'm sure there were many others, but it tells us about three that were invited. And these three said, we're going to come. How many of us know what it feels like when someone says they're coming and you get them ready, you get everything in place, and everything was made ready. All the animals were butchered. They were prepared. They went out into their gardens and they picked fresh fruit and vegetables and they prepared this great banquet. And now the servant is told by the Lord, go out and tell those that had the invitation to come. But then when the servant goes to them, they begin to make excuses of why they can't come. Nothing's changed with humanity. Amen. We all make excuses. Amen. You don't have to say amen, but that's all right. I used to make a lot of excuses why I didn't go to church. Praise the Lord. Well, I've got this to take care of. And the dog needs to go to the vet. And I stubbed my toe last night. And I got a backache. I got a neckache. How many of us know we are people that make a lot of excuses? Amen. We've all been there. It's all right to laugh at yourself. The Lord invites the Jews to come to this banquet. And these men begin to make excuses. One says, well, I bought a piece of property and I got to go check it out. You ever thought about that? That's not a very good excuse. I mean, where's the property going to go? He bought a piece of property and he's got to go check it out. Matter of fact, it seems a little foolish to me because I wouldn't buy no piece of property unless I first checked it out. He bought the property and didn't check it out. It's what the Bible says, doesn't it? So that wasn't too good of an excuse. He bought the property. He's got to go check it out. Now, the man with the oxen that made the excuse said, I bought 5 oxen, which in Jewish tradition and what they tell us about men that own oxen, it's a good chance that each oxen, and some would debate this, has the idea that every oxen is good for around 10 to 12 acres of land. So this man that had 5 oxen that he bought had to prove them, make sure they were good working oxen. And 5 oxen means this man was probably a man of wealth. He had much property and probably a lot of gardens and fields, and he was a man of great wealth. But he made an excuse, and he said, I got to go prove my oxen. That's like us going out to say, I bought this car, but I didn't drive it first. How many of us would buy a car and then say, I got to go test drive it first? What kind of excuse is that? Bid them to come. Well, I can't. Excuses, excuses, excuses. And as pastor now here at the Abiding Light for quite a few years, I've heard some good excuses. Praise the Lord. I get with my other pastor friends, and we have some good old laughs. I could spend 10 minutes sharing some that would make you bust your gut, because I'm telling you, there's some good ones. Excuses of why folks won't be committed and dedicated and keep their word to come to the house of the Lord. How many of us knows you shouldn't have to really compel true Christians to come to church? You shouldn't really have to call them and text them and check up on them and plead with them, are you going to be in church? Now, there's some legitimate excuses, but the Lord gives this example, and I'm just preaching the word here. I'm not preaching to just nobody. I'm just preaching the word. And this last one is my favorite. I got married and my wife. That's a good one right there. That's the best one out of every generation of Christians. My wife, my wife, my wife. I'll get away from that one real quick right there. Amen. The Lord invites these Jewish men to come to the banquet. And when everything is prepared, he sends his servant to tell them, this is an overview, to come. This is the Jewish people first that Christ came to. This is a picture of Christ coming to his own, and his own received him not. He says, I've come down. I am your Messiah. I want to bring salvation to you, and you're going to come and you're going to eat at the supper table. But he came to his own, and his own rejected Jesus Christ as their Messiah. Paul said it this way. He said he came to his own, and he says, because of their default, because of their rejection of the Messiah, now he turns to who? The Gentiles. The second group and the third group of the invited ones. So now the Lord of the banquet tells the servant, go to the poor, go to the maimed, go to the halt, go to all these one that would never have a chance, never get invited, those that are the lowest of the low, go to them and tell them there's still room at the table. Would you like to come? And then he went back to his servant and said, look, it's still empty. We've got a few in. But then he goes on and he says, go into the Gentiles. Go to the highways and the byways and the hedges and compel them to come in. We have a responsibility as servants of the Lord to reach the lost at any cost. Hast thou thought strongly? How much effort do you really put in to inviting people to church? How much persuasive language do you use, and how aggressive do you really make the effort to get people to come in? Witnessing for Christ is something that we all, as believers, have responsibility to do. Many of us don't even really reach out to our own family members. I want to ask you an honest question this morning. Have you ever won a soul to Christ? Do you have one soul to your credit? Do you have one person that is in church today because you led them to Jesus Christ in a sinner's prayer? Have you ever asked yourself, what will be on my books in heaven? How much have you really done for the kingdom of God? One life will soon pass. We are all going to meet death one day. And only that which has been done for Jesus Christ will last. Everything that you do on this earth that is outside of the parameters of doing it for the glory and the kingdom of God, it is all for naught. It is wasted time. It will not profit you nothing when you die and you stand before the Lord. What have you done for the kingdom of God? Those of us that are over 40 years old this morning, our life is halfway over with. If you live to be 80, you're a blessed man. If you live to be beyond 80, you are really blessed. Have you won a soul or some souls to Christ? I wrote these thoughts about myself as I was meditating in prayer. What have we really done for the kingdom of heaven? And I'm saying this to myself, Lord, what have I really done for you? How much of an effort and time do I really commit to reaching out to the lost in my family, in my friends, in my loved ones, in my coworkers, and even my own children? How much effort do I really put in to reaching them? As I look at my life, my brothers and sisters, I feel I have done so very little that will make an eternal difference for the kingdom of God. You know, there's some that are just content just to get into heaven. Can I tell you there's going to be some rewards handed out for obedient servants, for those that recognize that they weren't put on this earth just to serve themselves and make a lot of money and make a name for themselves? I thank God for the people that do have good jobs and do have a disciplined life, and we benefit from them. Amen. I thank God for men and women of God, but we have been put down on this earth to be witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm challenging you today. As I look at my life, say to yourself that, Lord, what have I done? Can I tell you, you were called to be witnesses for Jesus. Acts 1 and 8 says, but you shall receive what? Power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. A witness is someone that has seen or heard. And we are to be ones that have a witness that we know who Jesus is. He's more than just a story. He's more than just somebody, a good man. Muhammad Ali just passed away and they called him the greatest. Can I tell you, he might have been one of the greatest, but the greatest of the greatest, the Almighty, was Jesus Christ. There's never been a man that's ever walked the earth like Jesus Christ. A man that went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil because God was with him. He is a good God. He is the greatest of all time. You look at the graves of these great men. You look at great prominent leaders throughout our world and in history. They're in the grave. But can I tell you that Jesus Christ, they tried to put him in a grave, but on that third day he rose again. I'd have to say he's the greatest of all time. There's never been another man like my Lord Jesus Christ. They crucified him up on a cross. They put him in a tomb, but on the third day he resurrected. Amen. And he says, I am the resurrection and the life. Oh, he is the greatest of all time. Can you say amen? We are his witness. Do you believe he's rose again? Do you believe that he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? You are called to be a witness. He went on to tell his disciples in Acts 1 and 8. He says, unto me both in Jerusalem, he said, in Judea and Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth. This is what we are called to do as the disciples and the servants of the Lord. Proverbs 11 and 30, you mark this in your Bible. He that winneth souls is wise. How many want to be known as a wise man or woman? The Bible says, he that winneth souls. Are you a soul winner today? Does your heartbeat throb for the lost? Is your priority in your life every day to do all that you can to see somebody be saved, that they can inherit and receive eternal life through Jesus Christ? Do you look while you're traveling throughout the day at people on the streets, and will you take the time to take just a few moments and go over and be a witness and share with them your testimony? How much time do we really put into laboring for God and witnessing for God? I want to be a soul winner. How about you? If you're a soul winner today, can I tell you, all you've got to do is see a soul get saved. Amen. And that soul can really get established in God. And then they go and let's say they win 1,000 souls. Can I tell you that that's put to your credit? Because if that soul that you witnessed to and never got saved, amen. Oh, listen to me. They never would have seen God use them in a miraculous way to lead many others to Christ. Can I tell you, what's on your account today? If the books in heaven were opened, how much work and labor have you really done for the Lord? Come to challenge us. We've got a responsibility. Can you say amen? The Bible says in Matthew, turn with me in your Bibles to chapter 9. We are witnesses for Christ. We are soul winners for Christ. And just because you may invite them and they make excuses, don't quit inviting them. Compel them. Stay on them. Don't come to the point where you make them angry, where they're totally despise and reject you, but gently go to them. Send them that text. Send them a message somehow. And I know there's so many different ways with all of our today's technology, but compel them. Aggressively continue to reach out to them. Put some effort into filling the house of the Lord. How many want to see God fill the house? Can I tell you how he's going to fill the house? It's not my responsibility altogether. You are the ones that God is looking to labor out there in this community. That is your mission field. And when you step out those doors, out into the west side of Manchester, and you go into your different areas of living, wherever you live, that is your mission field. You are compelled, you are told by the Lord to go out and invite them into the highways and in the byways. Go into the hedges and compel them, put an effort into inviting them to come into the house of the Lord. Matthew 9 and 35. And Jesus went about all the cities. He gives us this example. And all the villages. We need to be more like Jesus and go ye out into all the world and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. God is looking for some servants that are willing to go out and aggressively be a witness to compel people to come in to the house of the Lord. If every one of you put a real effort into seeing souls saved that you were in touch with, we would not be able to contain them. But all the excuses, the excuses, the excuses. Somebody say no more excuses. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, I've had some good ones myself, but the Holy Ghost has said no more excuses. Amen. Brothers and sisters, there's a generation that's lost and going to hell right now. And what are we doing about it? I'm not mad. I'm telling you, God's begin to put in my heart, there's no more excuses. Quit making excuses. Quit trying to make excuses. You need to get in there and save your family. You need to see a revival where your loved ones can come to Jesus Christ and know what true salvation really is. Jesus went about into all the cities and the villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, Matthew 9 and 35, and healing what? Every sickness, every disease among the people. When Jesus did a work in their life, he did it thoroughly. He healed them of all their sicknesses, all their diseases. Can you say amen? There's a lot of sick people out there, and I'm not just talking physically. We've got people dying from a disease that there is no cure. And that is sin. There's no cure that man can come up with for sin. I said no man can come up with a cure for sin. It's a deadly cancer. And it's killing all of humanity. Romans 10 and 15. And how shall they preach except they be sent? Can I tell you what the Holy Ghost has told me to tell some of you today? Tell them, Pastor Davis, that I am ordaining you to send them. I'm challenging you right now. You're being commissioned by God through the pastor of this church. Go ye and bring them in. Compel them to come in. Yeah, they're going to reject you. Oh, I want to do something for God. Bring a soul in here. Because you know, I'm going to tell you what brings heaven revival is when one soul gets saved. I want to see some of you add some souls to the book in heaven. The record in heaven that's saying, oh, chalk another one up for him. Oh, yep, chalk another one up for her. She's out there laboring. She's out there preaching. He's out there preaching. He's out there pulling them out of the gutter. He's pulling them out of the bars. He's bringing them out of the alley. He's preaching to them and he's bringing them in that the house of God may be full. Can you say amen? You were called to preach this gospel. Don't make excuses. Romans 10 and 15. How shall they preach except they be sent? And it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings and good things. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. We've got some good news to bring to the lost, that they don't have to die lost, but they can experience the amazing grace of God and say, I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once walked in darkness, but oh, now I see. It's God's amazing grace. Somebody say, my feet are pretty. I'm one that brings good tidings. I preach this gospel. Amen. Can I tell you that's what you're commissioned to do? The last scripture I'm going to drop in your spirit. We are the body of Christ in this world today. We are called to minister. When Jesus commissioned in Mark 16 and 15, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Verse 17, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them and commissioned them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere. Somebody say everywhere. Mark 16 and 20, they preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Brothers and sisters, we are the body of Christ. He ascended into heaven, and his last statements and commission was, go ye into all this world and preach to the lost. Preach to every what? Creature.